Glory to God. This is the weekly podcast of Father Stephen Freeman from St. Anne Orthodox Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the author of the popular Glory to God for All Things blog site. Here is Father Stephen.
I'm looking forward to this new podcast series, Glory to God. Previously, I've been writing for the internet over the past 2 years on a weblog entitled Glory to God for All Things. I would like to begin this podcast series by looking at how we see the world, particularly how we see the world in religious terms. For there are many things we take for granted in our language and in the images we use to describe religious things that create problems for Orthodox believers. They are problems of which most of us are not aware. The essential image is what I have called the two-story universe. Much of the language we use about God, about heaven, about angels, about death, the soul, Hades, just generally spiritual things, whatever it may be, most of the language we use has much of this two-story character to it. The origins of this language in our modern world is rooted mostly in a secularized view of things. We live in a culture where secularism is the default position. People almost automatically think in these terms. Now, secularism is not a belief that there is no God. That would be simple atheism, of which there's not much in our culture. Instead, secularism is the belief that there is a God, but that somehow he is removed from our daily life. We are here on the first floor, the first story of the universe, and God is there on the second floor, the second story of the universe. Thus, the world we live in is a largely non-religious world. Those who are religious have many beliefs about the second story, many doctrines, and we can enter into arguments, even fierce arguments with each other about those beliefs. But what we often share in common is this split in how we see the world. And as we shall see, it creates many problems for us. There is a different way to see and understand the world, and we'll be looking at that as well. But we'll begin by looking at the two-story universe. The primary difficulty of the two-story universe is that we live on the first floor. While our metaphor would have it, God lives on the second floor. The great unspoken fear for all of us on the first floor is that no one actually lives on the second floor. Every time a board creaks, we quickly rush to proclaim miracle, mostly because it finally gives us some evidence that God is moving around up there. Thus, in our default position of a two-story universe, doubts and even an incipient atheism are always present with us. Now, rumor has it that when some one of us dies, his soul gets to move to the second story. If, however, he was bad or failed to have correct theology or a number of other factors, he has to go to the basement. Of course, this would give us three stories. Our culture is certain that no one goes from the basement to the second floor. This is guaranteed, at least for some, by the reading of Luke 16:26, which speaks of a great gulf that is fixed between the sufferings of Gehenna and the joys of paradise. This comes from the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There are those who spend a great deal of time and money trying to prove that there really are souls of the departed on the second floor. They make the mistake of becoming spiritualist and are all about proving that there's life after death. Indeed, our television has given us any number of programs on this very subject in the last few years. The full effect of all this metaphysical architecture is that we live in ignorance. We want to believe that someone is on the second floor, but we're not sure. Thus, there can be a dogged fundamentalism with regard to certain passages of Scripture and the way they're interpreted, because it's seen as the only guarantee that we're right about the second story. But try as we might, it's an inherent part of our life in a two-story universe that you can never be sure, and that doubt always dogs your every thought. We may not say these things to each other, but they're there. Thus, death especially becomes a crisis of faith. The industry surrounding death, particularly funerals, is a large part of our culture as well. Today, the funeral industry often celebrates life rather than speak of the second story. We simply remember how good the first floor is and say goodbye to those whom we miss. To speak of the second story is to raise doubts, and the industry is afraid to do that. In its proclamation of the gospel, the Orthodox Church predates the two-story universe. This is a distinct advantage. We do not go to church and attend services and listen to hymns that are full of modern doubt, nor do we have to listen to our own lack of confidence echoing back at us. Indeed, Orthodoxy proclaims, and we hear it always in our services, it proclaims that when we gather for worship, there are no two stories, that heaven and earth are together, that we actually eat of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Indeed, the food of this feast is nothing other than the body and blood of God. To the question, do you believe in God? We may answer, believe in him. We eat his body and drink his blood. I mean nothing blasphemous in the statement. I simply offer the facts. It is this presence of heaven here and now that is Orthodoxy's primary assault against the mistaken notions of the two-story universe. For that proclamation is indeed the truth. Now, our cultural metaphor is much like the lie of the evil witch who imprisoned the children in the Chronicles of Narnia, who imprisoned them beneath the mountain and told them there was no such thing as Narnia. We pray in the beginning of almost all our prayers, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things. Learning to pray in such a manner and to gradually come out of the darkness of the lie and into the brightness of the truth, that living in a two-story universe is false, and that coming to live where there is but one story is the truth. William Dalrymple, in his wonderful book, From the Holy Mountain, retraces the steps of John Moschus, a Byzantine monk, and relates in his book a wonderful one-story account from the monks of the monastery of St. Antony in the desert of Egypt. Only the smallest hint of a two-storied world had reached these monks, and they find the notion unbelievable. The monks of St. Antony's remain wonderfully dark age, at least in our modern worldview. They remain wonderfully dark age in their outlook and conversation. Exorcisms, miraculous healings, ghostly apparitions of long-dead saints are to the monks what doorstep milk deliveries are to suburban Londoners. Unremarkable, everyday occurrences that would never warrant a passing mention if foreigners did not always seem to be so inexplicably amazed by them. I'll read you a small passage. "See up there," said Abuna Dioscorus, as I was finishing my egg. He pointed to the space between the two towers of the Abbey Church. "In June 1987, in the middle of the night, our Father St. Anthony appeared there, hovering on a cloud of shining light." "You saw this?" I asked. "No," said Father Dioscorus, "I'm short-sighted." He took off his spectacles to show me the thickness of the glass. "I can barely see the abbot when I sit beside him at supper," he said, "but many other fathers saw the apparition. On one side of St. Anthony stood St. Mark the Hermit, and on the other was Abuna Eustace." "Abuna Eustace?" "He's one of our fathers. He used to be the sacristan." "So what was he doing up there?" "Oh, he had just departed this life." "Oh," I said, "I see. Officially, he's not a saint yet, but I'm sure he will be soon. His canonization is up for discussion at the next synod. His relics have been the cause of many miracles. Blind children have been made to see. The lame have got up from their wheelchairs. All the usual stuff?" "Exactly. But you won't believe this." Here Father Dioscorus lowered his voice into a whisper. "You won't believe this, but we had some visitors from Europe 2 years ago, Christians, some sort of Protestants, who said they didn't believe in the power of relics." The monk stroked his beard, wide-eyed in disbelief. "No," he continued, "I'm not joking. I had to take the Protestants aside and explain that we believe that St. Anthony and all the fathers have not died, that they live with us, continually protecting us, looking after us. When they are needed, when we go to their graves and pray to their relics, they appear and sort out our problems. Can the monks see them? Who, Protestants? No, the deceased fathers. Abuna Eustace is always appearing, said Father Dioscorus matter-of-factly. In fact, one of the fathers had a half-hour conversation with him the day before yesterday. And of course, St. Anthony makes fairly regular appearances, although he's very busy these days, answering prayers all over the world. But even when we cannot see the departed fathers, we can always feel them. Besides, there are many other indications that they are with us. What do you mean, I asked? What sort of indications? Well, take last week, for instance. The Bedouin from the desert are always bringing their sick to us for healing. Normally, it's something quite simple. We let them kiss a relic, give them an aspirin, and send them on their way. But last week, they brought in a small girl who was possessed by a devil. We took the girl into the church, and as it was the time for Vespers, one of the fathers went off to ring the bell for prayers. When he saw this, the devil inside the girl began to cry, "Don't ring the bell, please don't ring the bell." We asked him why not. "Because," replied the devil, "when you ring the bell, it's not just the living monks who come into the church. All the holy souls of the fathers join with you too, as well as great multitudes of angels and archangels. How can I remain in the church when that happens? I'm not staying in a place like that." At that moment, the bell began to ring. The girl shrieked and the devil left her. Father Dioscorus clicked his fingers. "Just like that. So you see," he said, "that proves it." Indeed, it does prove it. And those of us who do spiritual battle in a two, even three-story universe can only marvel and say, "Pray for us." How sad for us that we perceive ourselves to be in such a small universe, longing for more, hoping for more, arguing for more, starving for more. And yet God gives us grace. So we pray that He have mercy on such blindness as is ours, that He would come and drive away the dark demons and their lies, and open our eyes to the truth. Glory to God.
And that was Father Stephen Freeman with Glory to God. Father Stephen is the priest at St. Anne Orthodox Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and hosts the Glory to God for All Things blog site, which can be accessed from his podcast site at ancientfaithradio.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.